I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. The Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28. The kids left here. They went over. They're going to be releasing some balloons. And on these balloons, there's going to be some gospel tracts. And we're praying that the Lord will fall into the hands of some people that need to read it. Amen. So I hope that you'll pray to that end. We find in this chapter David with his desire to build a house of rest for the ark of the Lord. Let's read together. Verse number 1, the Bible says, And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, the captains over the thousands and the captains over the hundreds, the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over Israel. And all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with the perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake them, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And I want to preach on that thought this morning. Be strong and do it. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your love. We thank you for thy wonderful mercy. Thank you for these children that were in here just a few moments ago. And Lord, we realize we have a responsibility, Lord, not only to this generation in which we're living, but this generation which we witnessed this morning as they were singing songs of Thee. We have a responsibility to leave them an inheritance of the truth of Thy grace and of Thy mercy. Lord, as we look into Thy Word, I pray that we would gain what we need from Thee today. Help me as I stand. I can't do this without You. I need Thy strength. I need Thy power. I need Thy touch. And Lord, as I preach, I pray, dear Father, that we would hear from Thee and exactly what we need to hear. And then when the time comes that we'll respond, we'll be obedient. Now guide us and direct us, please, Lord, and we'll thank Thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. David, of course, here has assembled the princes, the captains, the stewards, his sons, the officers, valiant men, mighty men. And he speaks to these about the thing that he had in his heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord. He tells them how everything was made ready, but God would not allow him to build it. We understand that. The Bible said that he had been a man of war and shed blood. God said he couldn't build it. But God had chosen David to be king and had given him many sons. And out of these sons, God chose Solomon to succeed David on his throne and to build the house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And now we find David here in this chapter, and he's instructing Solomon in the things he ought to do and how he ought to be living and the things that ought to take part in his life, ought to take place in his life. He instructs him in what he needs to do with his life to fulfill God's will and God's plan. Now I want you to know, we need to take heed to what David taught Solomon this day. We need to listen to what God is saying and what David, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, what has been recorded to us. Some very important things. David said, this is what needs to be a part of your life. By the way, as we know these things, it is our responsibility to instruct our children in these things. Number one, he says, know God. Know God. You see what the Bible says in verse number 9? And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. So the first thing that ought to be a part of our lives, the first thing that we ought to be teaching our children, is that they need to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I like what David said, know thou the God of thy father. In other words, David said, I have a relationship with God. The greatest thing that we can do as parents of children is to have a relationship with the Lord. The greatest thing I can do for my family is to know God. It's to have Him as my Savior, to know that I have a personal walk and I can talk with Him and He with me. We need to know the Lord, and then we need to teach the Lord the importance of knowing Him. We need to teach the children the importance of knowing God. You know, we ought to help children to understand there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, they say, well, you know, we shouldn't say that to our kids. It's truth. And dear friends, they ought to be afraid of that terrible place called hell, because it is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We ought to help them to understand that Jesus died on the cross so they wouldn't have to go to that place called hell. And that if they'll put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, they'll be saved and heaven will be their home. There's nothing greater in all the world than to be able to tell our children that they can know God personally, that they can have a personal relationship with Him. But the truth of the matter is this. It's more likely to happen if the parents have put their faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, they say if a mother gets saved, then usually 10% of the family will trust the Lord. But if a father gets saved, it's like 80% of the family will trust the Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? Men, let's be men of God. Let's walk with God and talk with God, and let's know God and tell our children they need to know God too. David looks at Solomon and he says, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Then the next thing he says is serve God. He says, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. This word perfect does not mean sinless. It means wholeheartedly, to be sincere. So we teach our children that they're to know God and they're to serve God. And by the way, if you want your children to serve God, we have to be serving God. You know, it's almost like parents that teach their children not to smoke, but then they pull out a cigarette and throw it in their mouth. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? It's wrong. You don't want your kids to smoke? Say, I don't do it. You may have used to, but you say, look, I'm over it. God, help me to conquer this thing in my life. Look, we know these things won't send you to hell. We understand that. But they'll run your testimony. May the Lord help us to see this. We need to help our children know that they need to serve God and need to serve Him with all their heart. The greatest desire for a parent should be that their children be saved. Then that they would desire and instruct them in serving the Lord. Many parents, listen to this. Even Christian parents are willing for their children to not be so intent on serving the Lord as long as they're successful in the world. A lot of parents are fine with saying, you know, go out and as long as you can earn a lot of money and take care of your family, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And you may think I'm crazy. I'd rather my children be dirt poor and trust in the Lord and serve Him than to have all the wealth of this world. Because I have a God in heaven that said as we serve Him, He would provide all of our needs. The greatest desire I have is to see my kids serving God. That's it. The greatest desire I have in my life for my children is to see them serving the Lord. The Bible helps us to understand some things. It says to serve the Lord with all of our heart, right? It says with the perfect heart. The psalmist said, serve the Lord with fear. And that word, it just means to serve Him with reverence and humility. You know, a lot of people think that they're something, don't they? I know a lot of preachers that think they're God's gift to the world. The truth of the matter is this, we're all just sinners. And if there's anything good about us, it's Christ in us. There's nothing good about me. We read in Sunday school this morning, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. But the grace of God saved us and redeemed us and rescued us. Now we ought to serve the Lord with fear. We must realize that it's Christ that's great, and we're nothing but sinners that's been saved by His marvelous grace. The psalmist also said in Psalm 100, verse number 2, says, serve the Lord with gladness. I think the most wonderful thing has been given to us, and that's the opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, somebody calls us sometimes and says, you know, something you'd like to do, for instance, maybe you like to fish. You know, I like to fish. You like to fish, and somebody calls and says, look, I want to take you fishing. Would you like to go? And we'll say something like this, I'd be glad to. Why? Because it's something we like to do, right? We ought to like to serve the Lord. And God has called us to serve Him. And we ought to be something, when God places something in front of us to do, we ought to do it with gladness. You know, there's nothing worse than asking somebody to do something in the church and they're like, okay, if nobody else will do it. And when somebody says that, you know what I want to say? I don't want you to do it. There ought to be an excitement about serving the Lord. We ought to serve Him with gladness. You know, I get excited every time I get to stand up and preach. You say, well, you may get excited, but we don't. That might be the case. I don't know, but I love it. God has called me to preach, and I tell you what, I get to preach, and I get to open up God's Word, and boy, I'm glad when God opens up doors and allows me to preach and to tell others about what the Bible has to say. This is what serving Him with gladness is all about. The Bible says here in 1 Chronicles that the Lord, to serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And boy, when you're willing to serve God, He'll open up the door for you. He'll give you places to serve Him and things to do. God called me to preach. I was 19. I gave my life. I just surrendered. I got saved August 26, 1985. Surrendered to do whatever it is God wanted me to do, July 26, 1986. I knew God wanted me to preach. I didn't want to do it, but I knew God wanted me to preach. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. You know? It wasn't because I wasn't glad to. I was scared. I wanted to, but I didn't want to, you know? It's like the thought of preaching. Look, I preached the best messages ever when I was out mowing my yard on that lawnmower. You know? You just do that. Driving down the road, I could preach in my car. I know people thought I was crazy. Because, man, I mean, I'd be going to town. I'd be preaching in my car. I had cut my teeth on old-fashioned. I mean, I'm talking about getting after it kind of preaching, and I'd be going down the road, and I'd be preaching to sinners, and I'd be saying, bless God, you need to know God as your Savior. You're going to die and go to hell. I mean, I'd be preaching. I'd be going down the road, and I'd be holding on that steering wheel. I hadn't surrendered my life to preachers yet. And God began to deal with me. In July 26, 1986, I said, all right, Lord. And I was glad. I said, but you're going to have to help me out here. I'm glad to do it, but I don't know, you know, what I'm doing, really. And I said, you're going to have to open up doors. I've never invited myself to one place to preach. And all of a sudden, people started calling me. Will you fill in for us this Sunday? We're having a youth revival. Will you come and preach our youth revival? Preacher's going to be out of town. Pastor comes, I'm going to be out of town. Will you come and fill my pulpit? I'm 19 years old. But I had a willing mind. I was ready to preach. I was ready to do what God wanted me to do with my life. And all of a sudden, God began to open up doors. And look, I'm nothing. I'm nothing, I'm telling you. I'm not. I hear preachers preaching, and this probably is wrong, but I envy them. I envy their abilities. I envy their how they can articulate things and how they can bring a story together. And I'm amazed. I'm in awe sometimes when I see these people serving the Lord and they're preaching, and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to preach like that. And I've heard all kinds of different kinds of preachers. And every time I'll hear them, I'll say, here's this one. I mean, man, he just gets with it. And I said, boy, I'd like to preach like that. Here's one that's soft-spoken, but boy, he just seems to be able to bring it all together. I think, boy, I'd like to preach like that. I hear everybody, I'd like to preach like everybody but me, you know? That's how I feel sometimes. But God opened up the door, and I preach in over 100 different churches in the Tri-Cities area in about 3 years. Now, that's a lot for a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid. Honestly. But you know why I believe God opened up the door? Because I was ready and I was willing. I was glad to serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. You want to serve the Lord? Be glad about it. God will open up ways for you to serve Him. You want to do something for God? Do it with a glad heart, with a singleness of mind. Do it wholeheartedly with a perfect heart. The Bible says in verse number 9, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Truly serve the Lord. It's not really about duty. It's about desire. I think so many people serve the Lord out of duty. You ought not be a Sunday school teacher out of duty. You ought to have a desire to teach those children, to teach those young adults, to teach people, if you're going to be one. God doesn't allow everyone to be a Sunday school teacher. He doesn't give them that ability. I understand that. But you ought to have a desire to do this. God knows all. God sees all. The Bible says He searcheth all hearts. If you desire to serve God, He'll make a way for you to serve Him. The third thing He says, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve Him with the perfect heart and with the willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. Then it says, seek Him. You ought to seek God. We need to instruct our children the importance of seeking God. You ought to teach our children to pray. And by the way, you ought to be leading the way. I ought to be leading the way, and I fail at this so much. Praying with our children. Oh, Lord, help me to do better at this. But we ought to be people of prayer. We need to help them to understand that if they seek Him, the Bible says, if thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. God hears our prayers when we're seeking Him. But look here, if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. In other words, their life will be miserable. There's people that know God, but they never seek the Lord, and He never works in their life. It's like being a castaway. You've heard the stories of the potter and the potter's wheel and the potter's clay, how that here's a beautiful piece of pottery, but then it becomes broken, and they set it up on the shelf, and it's not usable. There's a lot of Christians that are on the way to heaven, but they're not usable because they're not seeking God. And God, He doesn't speak back to us. He doesn't show us His will. He doesn't guide our lives the way that we want to. When Christ died for our sins, we trust Him as our Savior. He gave us the promise and the assurance of eternal life. But when we don't seek Him, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose our blessings. We lose our guidance. We become one of those castaways, if you will. One of those useless kinds, you understand. Then the Bible goes on and says, not only if thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. If thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. The next thing He says is, take heed. This means to beware of anything evil that will attempt to intrude into our lives. Let me tell you what Satan will do. He'll put all kinds of things between you and the will of God. Okay, we have to teach our children this. We have to help our children understand. We must instruct our children of the wiles of the devil and of the wickedness of the world. The Bible says, "For the Lord hath chosen thee." David said to Solomon in verse number 10, "For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary." You know, David wanted Solomon to understand that God had a plan, that God had a purpose for his life, and he instructed Solomon, "Take heed. There's a devil out there, and he's going to do everything to keep you from fulfilling God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for your life. You better take heed of this." He instructed him to take heed. And we have to realize that God also has a plan and a purpose for our life. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose, a plan for you. I'm tempted to do that. We used to do something with the children in our church that eyeballs, and they'd say click, and everybody would look right at whoever's up here. So someone would say, eyeballs, click. Okay, good. You on me? Do you understand this? God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You're created by God and for God. But Satan has a plan to keep you away from God's plan. David wisely told Solomon, take heed. The Lord has chosen you to build this sanctuary. God has a purpose for your life, Solomon. But you better be aware. Because I want to tell you what will happen. God will throw some boy in the way of you girls. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But then you'll think, you know, well, I love him. And he's not even saved. That's not God's plan for your life. He'll throw a young lady in the way of you young men. Please, Lord, let it not. And you know what? It may not be who it is God has for you. You better take heed. Look, I'll never forget when I met Jody. I knew she was the one. God confirmed it. You know, nobody else had me, so that was it. I said, man alive, she's crazy enough. Yeah, I asked her to marry me the first day, the first time I ever met her. Her mom and dad don't know about that. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you, God had called me to preach. And if I would have not trusted him to bring me the right mate, if I had not taken heed, by the way, there wasn't anybody chasing after me, but I did have opportunity to go out with some people, you know? But I knew that God had a plan. He had a purpose for my life. And I determined that I wanted to marry the right kind of person that was going to help me fulfill God's plan and God's purpose. It's not just about boyfriend, girlfriend. It's not about stuff like that. I don't even know how I believe about boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't believe really in dating. I think you ought to court. In other words, you ought to go out with a bunch of people. It's safer, you know? I didn't feel that way when I was a teenager, but now I do, because I'm a dad. It's amazing what happens when you become a parent. But take heed. Solomon, here's the plan. Everything's made ready. Materials, you got people willing to help you. But you better take heed, because somebody in the world, the devil, are going to try to stop you. Take heed. May the Lord help us. David wanted Solomon to understand that God had this plan and this purpose. And we have to realize God has a plan and purpose for our life. My life. You say, I'm old now and, you know, I'm beyond the years of serving God. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you'll seek God, He'll give you that. But Satan wants to keep you from doing it. Then finally, he says, be strong. Be strong. David told Solomon, you know, you're going to have to be strong. I remember Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And he said, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. And sometimes God has to weaken us in order that we can be strong. Because if our strength is in ourselves, then I want you to know we're weak. But if we're weak and our strength is in God, then we're strong. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, that great passage on putting on the whole armor of God, it says, finally, my brethren. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word finally means from now on. Satan's going to come after you, but you better be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. From now on, do this. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? For the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to understand this. We're in a battle. We're in the war. If you're saved, you're in a war. And the only way we're going to win this battle is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I want to close with this thought. He says, be strong and do it. I think many of us are to that point. We just need to get busy doing it. We know God. We're seeking Him. We're trying to serve Him. We're taking heed. We're trying to be strong, but now it's just time to do it. It's time to get busy. He closes this instruction to Solomon before he begins to give him some other thoughts. He says, do it. And he's given him the greatest instruction in all the world. He showed Solomon how to live for the Lord, how to fulfill God's purpose and God's plan for his life. Now, David says to Solomon, get busy. Do it. And I believe God's looking at us today and He's telling some of us, it's time to do it. Be strong and do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. Many of us know all these things, but we need to get busy doing these things. Talk's big, isn't it? I told somebody one time, they saw me, I said, boy, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do this. God's put in my heart these things. God's put in my heart, you know, and they talked to him again later. Well, God, boy, this is really what I believe God wants to do. Talked to him again later. I said, boy, I think, you know, this is the direction. And finally I looked at this person, I said, look, just do it. You can talk all you want to. You can talk till you die. But it's time to do it. Some of us need to start doing it. Solomon, it's time. I'm getting ready to come off the throne. I'm getting ready to die, David says. It's time. Do it. Is God speaking to you today? Where are you at? Do you know God? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that He is your Savior, that you put your faith and trust in Him? Wonderful. If you've done that, I'm so happy. Are you serving Him? Are you serving God? There's a lot of people that are saved, but they're not serving. Serve God. Are you seeking Him? As you serve Him, are you serving Him in the power of your own might, or are you serving Him as you seek Him? Are you taking heed? You just go out. Look, you better start your day in prayer, and you better close your day in prayer, and you better be prayerful all day long. Take heed. And then are you doing what God wants you to do? Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we love You, and we thank You for loving us. You've been so good to us. Thank You for Your instruction from Thy Word. Thank You for what You put in David's heart to do concerning speaking to Solomon and now speaking to us through him, through these inspired words that You've given to us. Lord Jesus, I ask You to work now in this time of invitation. I pray for those that are here today that have never trusted Thee as Savior. We realize the greatest need we have in our life, if that's the case, the greatest need these people have in their life, if they've never trusted Thee, is to come today and to put their faith in Thee. Lord, if we have trusted You, Lord, to serve You and to seek You and to take heed, to be strong and to do Your will for our life. Thank You for having a purpose. Thank You for having a plan for me. Lord, I realize that my days are not over and that plan's not finished. So, Lord, may I be strong and do what You have for me to do. Help us now in this time of invitation. Lord Jesus, may Thy will be done. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning I'll ask you just a couple of questions.